Today we're going to talk about new resources available to help school educators and youth workers address youth suicide and its effects. We have with us the Chief Medical Officer for Acadia Healthcare, Dr. Michael Genovese, and also Clark Flatt, who is President of the Jason Foundation. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
Clark, if we start with you, tell me about the Jason Foundation, what its purpose was and why it was founded.
Well, it was founded, we started in 1997, regretfully after the suicide death of my youngest son, Jason. On July the 16th, 1997, I lost Jason to what we deem as the silent epidemic of youth suicide. It wasn't only till after I lost Jason that I found out how impactful that suicide was on families at that day and time. And this lack of awareness, I believe, is one of the most dangerous things about the youth suicide today. How many parents walking out there today would know in Ohio, the second leading cause of death for Ohio youth ages 10 to 24 is suicide. And that lack of awareness, not being frightened, not to scare them, but the lack of awareness of the danger of youth suicide really enhances its possibility of impacting a family or a community.
You mentioned how it's a silent epidemic. Usually it's not really reported unless there's a reason why, or maybe it's just, you know, sort of talked about in the shadows, a sense. But I see here that it says each day in our nation there are an average of over 3,000 suicide attempts by young people, grade 9 through 12. So this really is an epidemic, I guess.
Well, yes, sir. We're losing an average, based on the CDC in 2017, we're losing an average of almost 130 young people each and every week in our nation to suicide. You know, what other thing could be impacting our country, taking 130 young people ages 10 to 24 each and every week, and we'd not be up in arms about it? You know, this is something that Dr. Genovese, Acadia, and the Jason Foundation are working very hard to raise the awareness and provide resources like we're talking about this morning, the crisis support team, to help schools and churches and youth organizations in dealing with prevention and the aftermath.
Dr. Genovese, let's talk about this crisis support team. What does it do and how does it aid in helping prevent this?
Yeah, so what we're doing is gathering a team of experts across the country. When our friends at the Jason Foundation came to us to ask us about the crisis support team, we had an outpouring from our therapists and our doctors that wanted to volunteer to help guide school administrators, community leaders, church leaders, in the wake of a crisis,
right,
like a suicide, to help them know what resources are available to them, how to speak with parents, how to speak with children, to help them with that crisis and to also prevent further crises.
Yeah, to know not only what to do, Bruce, but just as importantly, as many of them ask us, I want to make sure I don't do the wrong thing. I don't want to make the situation worse. And so the crisis support team with Acadia and the Jason Foundation working together will give those counselors, those youth organization people, a sounding board that they can talk to and talk to clinical professionals about such items and sort of guide them through those traumas to help heal the families and the community.
What could they do to make things worse, I guess? You mentioned that comment. I'm curious as to what you think, or what would just neglect, or just sort of think it's going to pass? What would?
I can speak to that, Bruce. Sometimes that's exactly it. Not talking about it is more dangerous than talking about it. Not recognizing the impact that it has on the youth. Not allowing them a forum in which to speak. So one of the things that our therapists might say is you need to organize some sort of group where people have an opportunity
to share their feelings.
Absolutely.
And it can be actions, too, Bruce. You know, some of the things, we'll have a school call and say, we just unfortunately had a suicide. We're going to bring the family in and have an assembly within a day or two. And those things like that are mostly, by most of the people that we work with in a group, are things that you wouldn't want to do in the first couple of days, just to have a group assembly. Like Dr. Genovese said, it's more important to have those smaller groups where there can be a two-way communication, an assembly type of thing where there's all just one outpouring of information and there's no communication, there's no dialogue, those can be dangerous, especially with somebody else that might be struggling with thoughts of suicide. We have to make sure there's not glorification in the process, unmeant to be that way, but it can be seen upon someone who's struggling with thoughts as, if I did that too, look what would people be saying to me. So there's actions as well as inactions that we have to talk about as far as doing the right or wrong thing.
At what point do, in schools and even in counseling, do you bring up topics like suicide? It's probably good to have some sort of preventative measures. What would there be for that?
Well, the Jason Foundation, and there's some other good organizations. We're not the only. There's some great organizations out there. The Tennessee Department of Mental Health does a lot of work out there. Yes, you're right. It's important not to only just address suicide after the tragedy of one happening. We have a school-based program that's integrated within a school's health and wellness program, just like they would talk about drugs, alcohol, teen pregnancy. Most of them have a spot to talk about suicide and suicide prevention. On our specific programs, we do it in a third person. So a young person is learning the tools and resources they would need to help recognize when a friend might be struggling with thoughts of suicide and know how to help that friend. Not be a counselor, but know how to use the protocol within their schools or their community to help that friend.
Doctor, what would be some of the things you would recommend or ways we talk about, sometimes we reflect back after it happens, looking for warning signs, and we kind of pieces the puzzle together because we know what it's going to look like. Beforehand, what things should we be looking for and what should we do?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bruce, because hindsight is 20/20, but there are some things that we can look for. There's a spectrum of signs to look at. Some are very clear. You might have a young person actually expressing thoughts of death or hopelessness or sadness. But some other things that we can look at are loss of interest in activities that they usually would be engaged in. For example, you know, the athlete who doesn't want to go to tennis practice, or the musician who's not playing her guitar anymore, changes in appetite, sleep patterns, letting academics slip. And that's a situation where we can guide people to ask open-ended, non-shaming, non-blaming questions like, hey, I've noticed you haven't been, you know, at the play rehearsal recently. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, you know, give them the opportunity to talk. That's the key. Opening up dialogue where a young person would be free. Just like the things Dr. Genovese named, it doesn't actually mean that your son or daughter or your friend is suicidal. It does mean something's going on in their life that's such impact that you notice it. And that's what a friend or a parent or a teacher should do. I noticed these things, and I'm going to let you know I noticed it. Then we're going to talk about if I can help you.
We are talking today with Dr. Michael Genovese from Acadia Healthcare, also Clark Flatt, president of the Jason Foundation, about their crisis support team that's available, a free community-based service for school educators and youth workers that they have created. Do you provide materials, videos, people? How does this crisis support team get to the communities?
Well, the first part is that it's web-based to begin with. We've had phone calls over the years of people wanting, and I would go to Acadia, our partners, and say, can you find someone? This gives them a place to go to. They can go to a particular website page for us, put in the information, and within an estimated 24 hours, one of our volunteers from Acadia, one of the therapists or clinical professionals, will contact that individual, not for counseling, but as we said, for coaching, for helping them with those questions they might have. I've had schools ask me, I need to contact the parents. What kind of letter should I send out? What should I say? What shouldn't I say? What kind of events? What kind of resources are available? So we put this together with our partners at Acadia to provide that resource, and I'll let Dr. Genovese tell people how they can get to it.
Yeah, Bruce, so if people want to access this sort of help, you could look at acadiahealthcare.com/CST, and you can also find information at jasonfoundation.com, and we're here to help.
Clark, you lost your son over 20 years ago, 1997, to suicide. Here we are in the 2019. Are things getting heightened as well, do you see, because of the interaction, the cyberbullying that seems to be talked about, even though they can communicate, some of the kids seem to be so isolated that they really don't have anywhere to reach out?
Well, you're right, Bruce. I'd like to say that things were getting so much better since our organization and a lot of people like Acadia are helping to work toward this. Unfortunately, when I lost Jason, suicide was the third leading cause of death for young people across our nation. Today, suicide is the second leading cause of death for ages 10 to 24 in our nation and in Ohio. It's the second leading cause of death. Suicide rates have increased almost 70% over the past decade. So, unfortunately, the situation is getting worse. That's why it's so important that we partnered with Acadia to do this crisis support team. It's important for radio stations like yours to talk about this, to let their listeners know that this is something that can impact their family, not just the family across the street or down the in another community. It is something we have to prepare ourselves for to open that dialogue and be able to prevent it. And if it does happen, have those resources that we can help those affected by it.
Again, if people want more information, where can they go?
AcadiaHealthcare.com/CST and also JasonFoundation.com.
That's good. Talking about the crisis support team, again this morning joined by Chief Medical Officer at Acadia Healthcare, Dr. Michael Genovese, and also President of the Jason Foundation, Clark Flatt. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us this morning and sharing the topic. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Bruce.